was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to the 46th and last Two Johnnies Podcast of 2018. We hope you've had a lovely Christmas. Don't worry, we will be continuing the podcast into 2019. But on this New Year's Eve podcast, we're throwing out the running order and reviewing the year that has passed. And what a momentous year it's been.
This is it, lads. 2018.
Yurt and dirt.
It's New Year's Eve. I feel like we should have an old drop of champagne or something.
Yeah, pop the cork there, lad.
At least a can of Guinness or something. Anyway, 2018, lads, a bit of a mixed bag.
A busy year in Ireland, lad.
Oh, Ireland, we're thinking all the things that should go into it. And lad, we have a list.
Whoever's piecing together reeling in the ears this year, I tell you, they're going to be flat out to condense that down into half an hour.
No. But
we're going to give our best attempts here now.
We're going to start with an event very close to our hearts here on Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Pope's visit.
Pope, lad. When the Pope, he came to Ireland, he had a Pope mobile. A great joke on the tarmac, a bad joke in the field. Of course, the immortal words of Seamus Moore there.
That's a great start. Yeah, the Pope came.
All over the rest.
So, hey, oi, oi.
One thing about the Pope, lad. Handy crowd.
Yeah.
Maureen, for Phoenix Park, there was 500 tickets allocated.
500,000 tickets.
500,000.
It wasn't Abbey Hall and Ross Gray, was that?
The Pope was doing haze the following week, so it kind of took away from it a bit.
500,000 tickets allocated. Only 130,000 people showed up. So, but you know, interestingly, it was my local parish priest who gave out about RTÉ's coverage of the Pope's visit. So thanks to that, Father Cotton.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I get on quite well when we're slagging off RT. I'm like, I work for them. Stop slagging it off.
But sure, RT gave it loads of coverage, didn't
it? Too much coverage.
Yeah, but I think he felt that maybe there wasn't enough reverence and maybe there's a little bit too much focus on child sex abuse scandals.
I'd say Father's a bit of a holy Joe, is he?
Aye, Father Cotton, he's sound.
He's a priest.
He is a priest. He's sound, but leave off, lad. Like, you know.
I think the people of Ireland spoke with their feet on the one about the Pope. You know, there you go, 500,000 tickets, 130,000 turn up. Like, the big question is, does anybody actually give a shit?
Well, there was a decent crowd in Knock.
Yeah, but sure, they have nothing to be doing up there anyway. So, so they're only looking for a day out.
Yeah.
The Pope's coming. Who? The Pope. All right, yeah. Big crowd of that.
Oh, yeah, I like this first album, but it's going to be commercial after that. The Pope's visit cost Ireland 32 million, which works out at
a lot of houses for the homeless.
Yes, sir. Yes. It's more than a million an hour. Mm. Yeah. A lot of twine. Big money, John boy.
Oh, big money.
And guards, cost the guards 5 million.
Yeah, sure, overtime's gone through the roof.
Overtime through the roof. Mm-hmm. And 4.5 million on tea and scones. Well, I don't want to give out about the organisation too much. Because the event organizer, sure, one of the main men, used to be in the Saw Doctors.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's now... Oh, he's not the drummer. One of the other lads. It is the drummer, Johnny. Yeah, I think he's an event organizer now. And he was involved, instrumental, in the Pope's visit.
It ran well.
Ah, yeah.
You know, seemingly so.
But it got a lot of coverage.
It did too much coverage, yeah. Jesus Christ.
The Pope in Croke Park, highlight of the year, has to be him rolling his eyes at Daniel O'Donnell singing.
Oh, my God.
Poor Daniel's giving us, I just want to dance with you.
He was singing Let Your Love Flow. It could have been better arranged, I thought. And Daniel himself said that he wasn't happy with the song choice, but he was told, look, the Pope's coming and this is what you're singing.
He should have just sung Walk, Walk in the Light. That's everyone's favourite hymn. He could have just done it in Irish. Ninarca curla kela os coronri. Shul shuli soliste.
Who was DJing? Who was picking the tunes? Who told Daniel? Now you have Larry Gorgan, was there?
No, it was an outside production company that would have produced it in conjunction with the Catholic hierarchy. So.
And they had said, Daniel, you have to sing this song.
Yeah.
That's tough, because then Daniel might be like, no, I don't want to sing that song. And they'd be like, oh, well, you can't play then.
Yeah. Mm. But Riverdance was class.
Ah, yeah.
In fairness, you know, so, as always.
That was class. I don't know. You know, Ireland and the church, I think, are moving in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing happened this year, Good Friday.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. Another big religious tradition gone out the window.
Yeah, 91 years, they said, since the pubs were last open on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Now, the pubs, Johnny, you like a pub?
I do. frequent one from time to time, John, yes.
What's your stance? What's your thoughts on this?
I mean, from a publican's point of view, there's a lot of them saying, open it up. And then there's some of them are saying, sure, that we only get 2 days off a year, Christmas Day and Good Friday. But, I mean, lads, times have changed. You know what I mean? 91 years, a long time ago. People have changed. Ireland has progressed. I mean, it should be at the publican's
discretion
whether they want to open or not. You know what I mean? But, I mean, there's big events happening now at Easter. Like, this Good Friday, we're doing a gig somewhere, aren't we?
We very well could be.
Yes. If you look at the tour, we are. So, you know, things like that. There was rugby games on and different kind of things on. So you want to be, look.
Yeah, I used to love just seeing tourists walking around Dublin. Just, what's happening?
Where's the pub?
Where's the bars? Yeah. Like, sorry, lads. Religious holiday.
Look, it's publicans' choice. Let it be open. Like, who cares anymore?
The publicans reckon they turn over about 30 million in the day. If they had it open.
I'd leave it open, so.
I'd probably leave it open.
My mother kept her pub closed, so.
Yeah, you hit the headlines.
Yeah, she was interviewed by Sky News.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a bit like. And then I seen on Twitter, there was a load of comments afterwards slagging off her accent.
Wait, it's much worse than yours. No, I mean. Like, I mean it's surely similar to yours.
Oh,
like,
shit. Shit.
Your accent is fine. I mean, is it much stronger than yours?
2002, the two messages, yeah. She's from Cavan, so.
Okay, so it's different to yours.
I hope mine is a little more refined.
Your accent is much better than ours.
So what do you think?
I'm going to have to put subtitles on the podcast. Well, just the Minister of State said that the restrictions it is, they're no longer in tune with today's Ireland. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And I would agree. I fully agree.
That's one thing us in the government see eye to eye on. So
Ireland's changing, man.
Yeah, man. Get with it.
Yeah. I think like everybody's just like, a lot of people like the church, but they're like, well, let priests get married and, you know.
That's another thing.
Yeah. 100%.
That's a whole other
thing. Let women be priests. And if you did those two things, I think a lot more people would be happy to be like.
They'd come back to the chapel.
Yeah.
They'd come back to the chapel.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Like. Why can't I be a priest if I wanted to be?
No, let Mara can be a priest.
You've sinned too many times, my girl.
No.
And that's rich coming from me.
You wouldn't get in the gate, lad.
Imagine me up in a noose. Christ almighty.
Down the roost in the bar, I'd say. Alright. Yeah, you alright?
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
Okay, another topic you wanted to mention, Smacks, was the lotto was won in Turles.
It was, yeah. The Euro Millions.
The Euro Millions, lad. 17.4 million.
Yeah.
Split between 32 lads working in Stakeland's Hardware. This is great. This story.
This is brilliant.
2018 story.
Yeah. What a feel-good story.
The boys get 543 grand each.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wouldn't you hate to be the miserable fucker in there who didn't buy into the syndicate? Because you can be sure there definitely is someone like. I worked in a lot of places and we had syndicates and there's always someone who's like, ah no, I'm grand, I do it myself. But you know they don't. I say when word spread through, Mickey in accounts was sickened. But what a good, that's a good news story. Like that's definitely a yurt anyway. In that like, Lord, last year getting a bag of cash. I'd love to see the percentages of notices handed in following the win.
Yeah, but like it's a half million, you know, you depends on what age you are.
Yeah, that's true as well, yeah. Yeah, if you're young enough, what would you do? You win the money and probably go back to college or something, would you? Well, to be fair, 500 grand to work in a station would be grand as well.
Yeah.
Make your house.
Go down to a 3-day week.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. 3-day week, rest of your life.
Yeah. Oh, like, we sometimes do in work, we all put in for, like, you know, buy a lot of ticket. And I can tell you, if he won on the Wednesday, there wouldn't be a late on the Friday.
Tuberty never pays, though. He's actually 4 weeks overdrawn at the moment.
17.4 million. You think they'd round it up like 17 and a half?
Yeah, that's grim enough.
I'd say, hey.
You'd say no to the 500 odd thousand.
I'd say, hand it over now. I want my €3 back. I was getting Snapchats off some of them lads. Sure, they're all from Thurles and Lochmore now. So we had great crack. One other thing I wanted to mention now. This is a bit of a segue, but something that came to prominence this year with young people is the scourge known as Fortnite. This computer game, well, it was released at the end of 2017, but it absolutely caught on like wildfire in 2018. And apparently there's 78 million registered players around the world. It's rated 12s, but a lot of kids on it.
Yeah.
We get so many Snapchats of kids playing Fortnite asking, do we play, do we want to play against them? If any of you are listening, lads.
No, we don't.
Fuck off with your shit Fortnite. I don't want to hear about it.
But even, what is it, like Sims or something? What is it?
No, it's like, my sister was playing it over the Christmas. It's like, all the world, it's like a human Crash Bandicoot kind of thing. You run around killing people and getting points and getting guns and all this
shit. You build things as
build things as well. It's gunk. Like, the graphics are cat as well. I don't know. It's just, you see, it's taking life of its own with the dances, to do these little dances, funny dances. And then
the
you
floss.
Have,
you've seen people do the floss. Yeah. That's from Fortnite.
That's from Fortnite.
Oh, okay.
And the little L dance where he puts the like L shaped thing. Like, so Antoine Griezmann, who, when he scored for France at the World Cup, done that dance and stuff like that. So, okay. Yeah, everyone just got onto it. And I just don't see the point. But listen. Yeah.
It's like a shoot 'em up game. You run around, but like.
Yeah.
It's all, is it point of view, is it? Can you see yourself, or is it like point of view?
Well, no, you can see yourself.
You can see yourself, but it's just, it's like kids are on screens too much again.
Yeah,
come on, lads, get out and kick around an old stone there or something.
Climb a tree, fall off it or something.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Get out of the fucking sitting room.
And just on social media, the Snapchat update.
Oh, lads,
what a dirt of the
that
year.
That ruined lives.
That ruined lives.
And Instagram has an update as well. It happened to me yesterday, and I lost the plot, so I just deleted Instagram altogether and then re-uploaded it, and it was gone. But yeah, I've seen.
Wait, is it bad, is it?
Oh, it's desperate. Just wait for it. It'll happen to you.
The Snapchat did an upgrade. It's constant little upgrades, but they did a big one back in February. And like, it nearly killed Snapchat. Their share price plummeted. People like Kylie Jenner and all were tweeting, like, saying, I love you, Snapchat, but I'm gone. Can't do it anymore. And our views went. Yeah. At one stage, our views went down like 80%.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and over the following like 3 months, we got it back up to nearly as high as it was. But Snapchat nearly shot themselves, like, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Mental.
I think it's lost a lot of its popularity over the past couple of months compared to a lot more friends would use Instagram now as opposed to Instagram stories rather than post to their Snapchat.
So. Yeah, Instagram stories is the way forward. I think Snapchat is dying.
Well, I still enjoy Snapchat, and that's where I have my most correspondence with people.
Mm.
We get a lot of messages, and a lot of them are kids talking shite, but like people on nights out or people on the other side of the world would snap in. Should we read out the feedback here in the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
And that's great. Like, it's a really easy, casual way to chat to people.
Yeah, I've been Instagram man now myself.
Yeah, but like, would you have many conversations on Instagram?
You would, yeah. If you go into your requests, I always check my requests. Like, and if there's something decent there, I'll reply to it. Like, if it's someone saying like, hi, I'm not going to reply. Like, you know what I mean? So
add me back.
Add me back.
Remember, we did a Snapchat the other day with all the boys down in Coleman's. They released their charity single.
Yeah.
We're like, say hi to the Coleman's. And one lad just shouts out his own Snapchat username. Add me.
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, you wanted to get on to...
Yes, the sub heading of weather. So the snow, lads. On the 28th of February, Met Éireann issued a red weather warning. Its most severe alert for all of Munster and Leinster as the beast from the east arrived. Worst weather in Ireland in 30 years. Storm Emma, as it's also known, the 2nd to 3rd of March, up to 50 centimetres of snow was reported in some areas. And of course, us being Irish... when the Taoiseach issued the warning and Met Éireann gave the warning and said, stay inside, do not leave your house until after 4 o'clock. Where do we go? The pub.
The pub.
Ireland's pubs were booming. Everybody was delighted. I was going down the middle of a road, strapped to a quad bike on a tyre. Great crack had by everyone.
We're talking to a mate of ours who was out in Dublin that night.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was the best session he ever had.
It's the best night of the year, he said.
The whole place was on lockdown.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the snow, Mara?
I had to work that night.
You trooped on.
Yeah, I walked from Finglas to Donnybrook in the snow.
How far is that?
About 13 kilometres.
Give that woman a race.
Yeah.
So to get there for the Late Late Show?
Yeah, and then, it was really stressful. Like, the show did go out, but, and...
you had no audience.
Yeah, we had no audience.
You couldn't call them in.
Yeah, like, it was just, health and safety-wise, like, you can't invite people in and then... not be sure if they're going to be able to get home safely or not. Like, you know, because 200 people camp out in RTE TV studios wouldn't be ideal.
Living on cocktail sausages.
Yeah.
Free wine.
Yeah.
Free bread. The bread shortage, lads, that was at that time as well.
Lad, I went on Snapchat, like, the day after. I was down in town. Mm. And I was throwing a bit of bread to the ducks.
Yeah.
And the amount of abuse I got. There's people dying here that have no bread, Johnny. I was like, lads, it's not the famine. We have a varied diet in Ireland. You don't need to put everything in between two slices of bread.
But that was a crazy time. There was a bread shortage. People were losing the plot. Yeah.
Do you remember like the tulips back in Holland back in the day, like years ago? There was a big fucking economic crash. Ireland nearly freaked out over bread. Like.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a mental time. Like, but hey. Fast forward a couple of months.
Right.
28th of June, Met Aaron announced that the temperature of 32 degrees Celsius recorded at Shannon Airport was the highest in Ireland since 1976.
How hot?
32 degrees in Shannon.
Is that how hot it got?
That's how hot it got, yeah.
I thought Ireland to get that high heat regularly, no?
32 degrees, lad.
Yeah, Spain.
Yeah, it's not the cost of El Sol. So this led to Irish Water banning the use of hose pipes in the greater Dublin area to conserve water during this heat wave. Mm. And then 2 days after that, they announced a nationwide hose pipe ban, which coincided with Aldi releasing a special offer on swimming pools.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy time. Aldi were here pushing swimming pools. Oh, get a swimming pool for your house. There's a hose pipe ban. How are you going to fill the fucking thing? Ireland was at breaking point. Yeah. We were in California.
Some crack.
So it was roasting out there as well.
The thing about the hot weather, bad for the farmers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad for the farmers. Bad for owl ones too. You know, they just love complaining about the heat.
It's too hot.
Ah, too hot.
It's just too hot.
It's just too hot. I can't get a fan. All the fans are sold out. Fans were sold out as well.
It's too hot. Yeah. But just the farmers had the fodder crisis.
Yes, that lives on.
They're fucking serious going. Like, that. A lot of lads now. In the winter, Johnny.
Mm-hmm. The farmers were...
Pressure's on.
The farmers were up in arms, right? Because the fodder crisis took hold. A long winter, right? So it was a really bad winter with the snow and all that. That had affected them. And that mixed together with the lack of rain, which didn't give enough grass for a second cut of silage.
Yeah, well, lads got it eventually. Like
they got it eventually, but fodder prices... the price of fodder went mental through the roof. And the farmers were stressed out. Now, you only ever hear from the farmers when things are going wrong. Mm. When things are going all right, then... They're still complaining, but not as much.
Say nothing.
But yeah, so the fodder crisis was a big deal.
It was.
We also done our bit for it.
We had the silage song out, yeah.
The silage song coincided with the fodder crisis. And we hand delivered a bale to a couple in Wexford. And we done our bit for the fodder crisis, lads. There
was
go.
It. So if you don't remember, we released the silage song and anyone who downloaded it was entered into the draw to win a bale.
Yeah, hand-delivered bail
and
of their choice.
That's how we knocked George Ezra
off the top spot. But yeah, the fodder crisis was big news.
Well, George Ezra wasn't going to deliver a shotgun to whoever won.
That's illegal.
I collared a farmer in the pub last night.
Well.
And I said, how come... He said, are you going to do anything for the farmers on the podcast? And I said, how come you're always getting grants? I said, if the two Johnnies went bust now, there'd be no EU scheme for struggling comedians. And he said, and it's a very good point, he said, well, hey, if you want to be a farmer, think of all the things you have to buy. Mm. Machine, like, if you now said, right, I want to be a farmer, take an ocean.
Okay.
You want €1 million, like.
Yeah.
Between ground and sheds and the whole lot.
It's expensive to get into, yeah.
Yeah, and he says, right, if you're getting a loan, no bank would give you a mortgage because you could have a bad year next year and all your hurt die.
Mm. Yeah.
So the fact that there's a grant there means you have a bit of stability and if things hit the fan, you'd still be able to service the loan.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, and I never thought of that before, that every farmer probably has a bit of a loan, like, because he's always, like, buying new... Like, tomorrow your tractor could blow up and you need to spend 30 grand on a new one.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
No, there's Johnny B doing his bit for the farmers out there,
so
lads.
We're going to get some farmers on here soon and set things straight.
Speaking of farming, the ploughing was cancelled.
Ah!
On the 19th of September, there was an orange wind weather warning that was issued as Storm Ali took over. Over 186,000 homes and businesses were without power. So the second day of the ploughing championships were cancelled as a result. And it's only the second time in history they were cancelled due to a weather condition, right? In 1965, they were cancelled in Enniskerry due to snowfall. And obviously 2001 then was due to foot and mouth. They weren't on at all. Crazy time. Another storm, lads.
Another storm. And I do feel bad for the people who had stalled at the ploughing.
Mm. Yeah, they were destroyed.
They all lost a lot of money. Because they all came back for the extra day.
Yeah.
But sure, the crowds were way down.
Yeah.
And some lads, I've seen the footage.
Yeah, it looked bad inside. It looked pretty broke up inside.
But I want to commend the man on the gate.
He was a prick.
He held back 1,000 people with not only a bit of fucking string, lad.
Yeah, bit of string and a frown.
Yeah, he'd say, you're not coming in. And we'd say, ah, lad, we're working. You have to leave us in. You're not coming in. And like that was it. And then the queue would get bigger. There was 100 lads around him on stage. Yeah. And all he had was bale and twine.
Yeah. And he kept my bail, lads.
Oh, he was cross. He was like Roy Keane. Oh, you're not getting in. That was it.
But I felt that if I walked past him, he'd open me with a slap. So, and that same day we flew to Edinburgh in those conditions.
Yeah.
We were at the Plown, so we were at the gate, and then it was cancelled. So thankfully we got word it was cancelled around 10 minutes before it was issued on Twitter. So we had turned around the car and had got out of there, like, and then there was like tailbacks of 2 hours and stuff trying to get out of there, but we had just beaten that out.
It was too windy to drive a tractor. But we got a fucking Eddie Stobart plane to Edinburgh. Big propellers outside of it. I swear to God, there was a fella out the back pulling out of it like it was a chainsaw trying to start the plane.
Yeah.
The choke was stuck, he was roaring at me.
I can honestly tell you that was the most scariest experience of this year.
That flight.
Well, apart from almost dying in Abu Dhabi, probably on a par. Both of the two bad things happening this year were on a plane. But that night going to Edinburgh, Johnny, you slept the whole way. And I don't know how you did.
Well,
the plane,
it's like an hour.
The plane was like a paper airplane. It was just getting thrown side to side. And like, I was freaking out. The sweat was beading off me forward. We'd spent 12 hours almost in the airport because it was grounded.
Yeah.
It didn't leave on time.
The lads in Edinburgh were ringing. Yeah. Lads, you're on stage in 2 hours. Where are you now?
We're still in Dublin. We got there. We got the gig done. But that was another crazy time and a big news story of the year as well.
One dirt that I have regarding the weather. I'll keep it short. But Ireland's part of the EU. Mm-hmm. And we sign up to these things in the EU. And one of the things we signed up to is to reduce our CO2 emissions by 2020.
Yeah.
So 2005 is where they set the marker. And everybody has to be 20% lower than they were in 2005. Mm. Ireland is 1% lower. Which means we're in for massive fines.
Yeah.
I'm talking millions.
Yeah.
In fines. And nobody's talking about it yet. But this time next year, they'll all be talking about it. Leo will be slapping out the checkbook.
The shit hit the fan, lad. You feel very strongly on this.
Well, it's wasted money.
Yeah.
We don't have it.
There's nothing you hate more, lad, than wasted money.
Fuck the environment, lad. It's the fucking twine I'm thinking about.
A great one. All right, that brings us on, lad, to sports. Now, a great year for Irish rugby, all right? On St. Patrick's Day, Ireland beat England in Twickenham 24-15 to clinch their third ever Grand Slam.
Do you remember that, Johnny?
I do remember it. Following that, they followed that up by beating the All Blacks on the 17th of November for the second year running, but this time it was on home soil in Dublin on a scoreline of 16-9 and cemented Ireland as the number one team heading into 2019. Good year for Irish rugby. Remember the Grand Slam, as you said there. We were in Edinburgh for that.
We enjoyed it immensely.
The less said about that, the better.
Ireland number one in the world in rugby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to suit us.
No, yeah. Ireland are nearly better being underdogs. You're not feeling it, Maura. Actually, Jacob Stockdale got the try, Maura, against the All Blacks. And you famously said you didn't fancy him. Has that changed? Any update there to you and Jacob for that? No. Still don't fancy him.
No.
Man's a national treasure, Maura.
Do you know, he's 6'4", 6'5", and like 105 kilos. Like, he's some beast, like, you know, but no, I don't fancy him.
You think that just because he's good at rugby, she should fancy him, like, is this it, Johnny?
Well, he's a good looking lad.
Well, that's a different story. He is a good looking lad.
Good big fucking...
But wouldn't it? I admit he is aesthetically pleasing person, but just not my type. You know my type.
Right, well, I kind of fancy him, so.
Jacob, if you're listening, is this the emergence of rugby as Ireland's number one sport?
No.
No?
Participation numbers are still too small.
Okay.
But they're blazing the trail.
They're favourites now.
For the World Cup.
Well, like, up there with the All Blacks, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. They're world number one.
Yeah, I know Joe Schmidt is leaving, but I really like the way they're handling the whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
I did, like, when I heard Joe Schmidt was leaving, I was freaking out. I was like, oh, no!
But it's okay, the contingency plan is in place.
I'm starting to relax into this plan a bit.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, the soccer where like you feel they're just sticking their hand into a bag and pulling out a manager like.
Kerr-GA style.
Kerr-GA, yeah.
So, yeah, following that on then, the Dublin footballers, of course, win again. September time, and Dublin made it 4 in a row, defeating Tyrone 217-114 in a game that was never in doubt. They're only the third county to achieve defeat of 4 in a row. Wexford 1915-1918. Kerry done it twice, 1929-32 and 78-81. Will Dublin ever be stopped, lads? And also, just to touch on that, that was the last time Michael Lester presented the Sunday game.
Yeah.
So a big yurt on that man retiring. He was a fair
legend,
fair stalwart. So
I don't know if it's going to be the same without him. Time will tell, but I love Mick Lester. The Dubs, for me, will not be bet in 2019.
No, I can't see it myself.
I expect to see Dublin get a 100% record. Mm. Every league game, every championship game. But I do think Kerry will catch them eventually. Because, of course, the Kerry Miners got 5 in a row this year.
Yeah, they're coming.
That's freakish number.
Yeah.
The Dubs, the one thing, I wish Jim Gavin would smile. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you're destroying every team. You could at least enjoy it. I think I enjoyed the All-Ireland final more than Jim Gavin did.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be because you were having a Carvery. I think it'd be great for football if somebody really did contest it even a bit more like that. Like, that final for me was never really in doubt. Like,
no.
And any game that we watched Dublin in this year was never in doubt. But look,
teams are going too defensive anyway.
Mm. Well,
if you want to beat the Dubs, you have to go gung-ho.
Yeah, I think that's why Mullinocta's victory in the Leinster final got such a big reaction, because they beat a Dublin team, Kilmacud Crokes, and they're like massive. Like it was very much Goliath versus David, and you know, it was just good to see it. And they played nice, open, expansive football. So I don't know, like, Dublin are a beautiful team to watch. It's
Yeah.
I wouldn't mean...
The joke's going a bit flat now, though.
Yeah.
With Dublin.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, someone just bait him there to fuck and we get this thing back on the road.
Yeah.
Anyone?
Interesting. 2019 will be interesting, but I can't see past the Dubs again. Which brings us on to another big GA story of the year. This one didn't have take hold of the nation. Newbridge or nowhere.
Hashtag
Newbridge or nowhere. Kildare refused to travel to Croke Park to take on Mayo in a round 3 qualifier, so Kildare came out of the pot first, meaning they had home advantage. The CCCC, nothing got to do with the Soviet Union, had different ideas, and they fixed the game for Croke Park as part of a double header. Manager Keane O'Neill, the Kildare manager, appeared on the 6-1 news and uttered the words Newbridge or nowhere, and insisted his team would be in St. Conleth's Park, Newbridge, for the game. The GAA backed down after a 3-day standoff and scheduled the game for Newbridge. Kildare beat Mayo 21-19. Justice was served, boy. Kildare stood tall, boy. Murals, there was hashtags, there was everything. The whole of Ireland went into meltdown on this one.
The guy saw it coming and did nothing about it.
Yeah.
They knew to layer home advantage, and you shouldn't be in the pot for home advantage unless your stadium is at a certain capacity. It's the way it is in soccer.
Yeah, so they tried to backtrack and say, oh, we wouldn't have the security and the facilities in Newbridge. We know what Newbridge is like. We played there. We done the Hurling for Cancer there, actually.
Yeah, Johnny roasted well. Ollie Canning. He never talks about it.
Yeah. There you go, yeah.
Was Ollie Canning injured?
No, it was only 2-4 scored off him. So. It was 1-4. But
school's out, lad.
School's out, yeah. It came on. It was brilliant. I was like, did I write to him on Twitter or something and said, thanks for the school's out, or thanks for the... And he enjoyed it. He replied back.
Yeah, he said after, when the final whistle went, Smack said something like... end of lesson or something. Yeah. the Newbridge Nor thing, I'm kind of proud of Kildare.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they saw a gap and they went for it, and they needed every advantage, and Mayo were debating on the rocks anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted for Kildare because they're great, they're a coming team, but they don't win too many big ones.
Yeah, I reckon if that game was held in Croke Park, Mayo probably would have just about got over the line.
Yeah.
You know, so like they were pulled out of half first. It was their divine right to have a home game. They held strong. Again, the GAA didn't cover themselves in glory with this one.
A bit more foresight, a bit more communication, I think.
Yeah, well, they had the debacle with the Liam Miller testimonial as well. And now it's come out how much Parky Creeve is costing. It's like, oh, lads, you need to sort out your stadiums.
I wish straight away we had better communication
100%
from all sides on Liam Miller.
Game sold out in minutes, right, and was initially fixed for Turner's Cross. Due to the high demand on tickets, pressure began to grow for Parky Creeve to open his doors for the game. The GAA released a statement then, doing themselves absolutely no favours, as per usual. They said...
What did the statement say, Johnny?
I don't have the statement there, John.
you're revving up as if you had it there, John.
I wasn't going to read it out. They basically said that rule, whatever, states that games held in there must be only GAA games, but then
unless passed at Congress
yeah,
and Congress is once a year, like, so.
So it was clearly they weren't up for it, and then they found a loophole which said that charity events could be held, and that's how they got it. So eventually the GAA seen sense and the game went ahead, but like the damage was already done in the lead up to it. The GAA first of all stayed silent for days.
Crazy.
And then released that fucking shit statement,
considering how, like, it's come out that like Parky Creeve was like
25 million over budget.
Yeah, they're going to have to open it up to more events like this.
Yeah.
To make that back.
Well, fucking Rod Stewart's going down there belting out a few tunes, and they couldn't hold an old testimonial for a man who was from Cork. Yeah. But
right from the outset, It looks absolutely mental, and it looks like there's no... If there was a good reason behind them not wanting to have it there, they want to be communicating that to the masses ASAP, because everyone was at home scratching their heads going, this looks like a no-brainer here, Cork. What's going on?
I think the problem was when the initial statement was released saying, oh, it has to be passed to Congress, I think that just really got people's backs up and they were pissed off initially. But why didn't they just say, look, we'll have a chat with the organisers and hopefully we can sort something out? If they released that statement immediately, this thing would have been put to bed.
Yeah, but sure, it was Cork who were dealing with the organisers, not Croke Park.
Okay, okay.
And therein is your problem.
Aha.
Like the county council versus the government.
But that, like that, everybody had an opinion on that.
Yeah.
On Twitter, there was everyone in Ireland casted their opinion on that. Some, like, there was just lads sledging the GA then, which is fucking bullshit as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of shite talk spoken now on Twitter, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember at the time thinking this is a lot of shit. Like,
and you can't keep saying the GAA, but you're in the GAA. You're in the GAA.
Yeah, we're all in the GAA.
Who's the GAA? Who's it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's the? I'm the GAA now. I'll fight you.
It could have been.
Was he Damien Duff? Or was it that was on Twitter? Yeah. Matt. Come on, so Duff. I'm the guy. Yeah. Step out, lad. That's what I mean.
Me and the rest of the junior B hurlers kick the shit out of it.
Yeah, we'll bring one or two of the senior lads too, like, because they're the GAA as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So just if you're criticising somebody, like, try and be more specific.
Yeah, 100%. Look, eventually the game went ahead. It sold out Parky Quay 40-something odd thousand, and loads of money were raised for the Lee Miller appeal.
Some of the money raised went to the hospice and more to the family.
I think, 250,000 went to the hospice. There was another 250,000 divided then amongst other charities, and I think the family got a million. So
I thought soccer players would be loaded. Obviously I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, fair point.
Okay, who's up? Limerick won the All-Ireland, Johnny.
Limerick won the All-Ireland for the first time since 1973 with a 3-16-2-18 defeat at Galway.
Woo!
45 years of hurt came to an end as the Cranberries' dreams rang around Croke Park. A magic moment.
Oh, what a moment.
A tearjerker. Weird, like, I have no association with Limerick GAA, but for some reason, like, I feel tears forming in my eyes. Yeah. It was emotional. I think
you'd had a couple of gins.
No, I had actually.
Had you?
I had, sure, wasn't it? We were at a corporate thing.
Oh yeah, we weren't working. We were just enjoying the
day, the weekend. But
great game, and Limerick deserved it.
Yeah, Limerick deserved that. Like, a lot of people were going for Limerick anyway because it was so long since they won it, and Galway, were reigning champions anyway, so we're hoping to see someone else win. Bar, if you're on the Limerick tip border, them boys were going for Galway.
Yeah?
Yeah, serious, down
there. That's not a character, you're going to burn us.
But it was magic, and the atmosphere, the outpouring of emotion, like when that song went on, and the whole lot. It was a great magic day. Anyway, All-Ireland final day, obviously.
But Nicky Quaid's save against Cork.
That's a yurt of the year, if ever there was one.
If that goes in, Cork win the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
Because they would have bet Limerick in the semi. And, you know, if you lose a semi-final, things can happen. Management to get under pressure can change the whole thing. You might never win one just because you win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what a save, man. Yeah. Oh, is it a save or is it a block?
It's an interception.
Do you see this, Mara?
I would say.
No.
That's class. Cork lad throws up the ball and the keeper sprints out from his line and, like, flicks it even before he hits it, like.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
incredible.
Some save.
He was like a cat.
In the dying moments as well. But a great year for Limerick rounded up there. They're a yurt for Limerick.
I have another yurt to do with the hurling championship this year, which was very, really exciting stuff. Yeah. Monster layout, I don't know, but my yurt is John Milan on co-commentary.
Ah, yeah. He's like, on fire, yeah.
They pulled this lad out of Muldoon's and put him on the radio on our team. And he's a laugh a minute, like.
This is unreal stuff here, Tony, boy.
I can't keep up, Tony. I can't keep up. I love this game.
Yeah.
That's John, he used to hurl for Waterford. No. Shane McGrath as well, lad.
Shane McGrath's going on the old co-commentary as well, yeah.
And Shane's going to be listening now. He's going to be sending us dirty texts.
Yeah, we have to give him a shout. Himself and Brian Carty, lad.
It's gone in. It's gone over the bar.
Classic, yeah. So definitely yurts there for the boys. Of course, another GA yurt is Hurling and Camogie granted UNESCO status at a meeting in Mauritius on the 28th of November.
Well, they like their hurling.
They do out Mauritius. Ireland's nomination of Hurling and Camogie was approved, thereby achieving international recognition of hurling as a key element of Ireland's living heritage to be safeguarded for future generations.
Yeah,
whatever that means.
That and drinking on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Key elements of Irish heritage.
And spuds. No, great for Hurling and Camogie to be recognised worldwide.
I suppose.
We'll see in 2019 what that brings. God only knows.
Talking about spuds, my cousin was home for Christmas and he lives in England for 8 years.
Right.
He lives in London and he said every day somebody makes a spud joke at him.
Yeah.
Every day. Now, at the time he said it, He was eating a spud. Just thought that was funny.
All right, another Spartan.
Isn't that weird, isn't it?
Well, did I tell you the story before about being in Leeds and getting chips?
Right.
Oh, I thought I told you the story. I had to go, a friend was being taken off in an ambulance and the friend that was going with her was really hungry and I was like, I'll go into the chipper and get you chips, and there was a big queue, so I had to go to the top of the queue.
So you skipped the queue?
Skew. And I had to like explain, it's like, does anybody mind if I skip the queue because there's an ambulance there and I need to get chips? And another friend was in the queue pretending not to know me, and he said afterwards that two lads ahead of him were like, oi mate, what was that Irish girl going on about? And like other fella goes, oh, I don't know, all I heard was potato, potato, potato.
Cheeky fuckers.
It's kind of funny.
Off. What is that?
Women, Johnny.
Yeah, women. By women took centre stage this year in Ireland.
The ground hurling.
The ground hurling went huge. Yeah, hockey took centre stage in August. Ireland's women hockey team. Ireland's women's hockey team reached the World Cup final.
He was thinking about them skirts, lad. Yeah,
the gum shields, boy. They were defeated 6-0 by the Netherlands in the final, but no one cared because they had a brilliant summer. They came into the competition as outsiders and they impressed with victories over USA, India and Spain and returned to a hero's welcome with thousands on the street in Dublin.
It was a funny one.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. You know, and they kind of just captivated the nation there. Everyone was talking about hockey and watching the hockey the whole lot.
There was lads down the pub roaring on hockey. Like, and then there'd be one fella in the pub who might have played it, like, and he'd be explaining the rules to everyone else. Yeah. It was worse than the rugby, like. Just fair play to them.
Yeah, brilliant achievement.
Because they're one of those groups who are training away on the QT.
Yeah,
no one ever really gives them too much kudos. But
yeah. You know what I mean? If your next door neighbour now was playing hockey for Ireland, until this year, like, you probably didn't even know.
Yeah.
There's no national hockey ground in Ireland, and that's the one thing that Irish hockey does really need, is like, you know, like, we have a Croke Park, we have an Aviva Stadium, but we don't have a proper Croke Park.
They play on one of the colleges, is it?
Yeah, UCD's, or there's somewhere down in Cork as well. So it's not ideal. That's what the team say they would need. They're just like, and there is plans for a hockey stadium out in Abbottstown, but hasn't happened yet, so. Shane Ross, cough up a few shackles.
I don't know.
What?
Like, does the ground in UCD, whatever, does it hold enough?
It's Belfield, is it?
Belfield, yeah. It would...
Is it a capacity issue or is it a different issue, like, that they want the ground?
Well, it's that because UCD own that ground, it's the teams that train there can't get it whenever they want. And it could be only that the senior women's team might train there, but the underage teams would train somewhere else.
They deserve to have a...
Yeah, but then is it not a training ground they want rather than a stadium?
Well, it'd be, you know, it'd be a multi-purpose surface, yeah.
This is Parky Queen.
Yeah, but they're not looking for like a massive like 10,000 capacity stadium, but they just want a home for hockey.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
They deserve that. Definitely.
Has Irish women's hockey turned a corner?
You'd like to think so, anyway, yeah?
Yeah, in terms of profile or...
Yeah, like, do you think there'll be more people will play it now?
I would say it's definitely a sport that more girls will get into. I don't think it's in very... It's where it's played, though, is mostly in Dublin in private schools. And I don't know if it's going to filter out those... You'd need investment and you'd need training officers.
So you need an AstroTurf pitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's an expense straight away, like...
Well, hopefully there'll be some teenage girls playing it in a school, and they might say, "Fuck it, I'll stay playing."
Yeah. Well, like, it's because I had the hockey team on the late, and they're like amazing girls, and a lot of them have gone abroad to further their sporting career, and they've got sporting scholarships to the colleges in the US. So, like, you know, if you can see the opportunities that come with playing a sport like that, then I think it definitely incentivised girls to stay at the sport, stick through it in their teenage years.
And they're playing at a high standard.
Oh, like, yeah, class. Like high, really high level. Like, and it's like in the Netherlands, the team that beat Ireland, the country that beat Ireland, it's one of the most popular sports in the country and gets massive. One of the girls, I think, was it a German player or a Netherlands player? Like, she gets a Jeep sponsored by Range Rover or...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Christ.
A few of them are getting lads playing all right now.
the boom is back in Irish hockey.
It was a big year for women in sport. Finally, big debate this year. And I would really like to see more young ladies staying in the game. Because you lose too many.
Yeah, 100%. In all sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You lose too many, a 16 to 20 gap.
Another woman trailblazing away for herself is Katie Taylor in April 2018. Step out for belts. In April 2018, Katie unified the world titles at lightweight level, defeating Victoria Bustos in New York City. She's currently the IBF and WBA lightweight champion. And as of now, her professional record...
Say that again, she's lightweight?
Lightweight champion of the world.
Oh, in two?
Yeah, so she's the IBF and WBA.
And is that it? There's no more, like...
No, there's the WBC and there's another boxing authority. I think there's four boxing authorities which license.
So they won't scrap her, basically. Her professional record stands at 12 fights with 12 wins, 5 of them by knockout. What's next for Katie? You see, the problem is, she's actually so good that the rest of them won't fight her now because they know she's going to bait them. Like.
They'll fight. Well, her promoter, Barry Hearn, says that they will fight, but it's just that it has to be a very good payday for them to risk losing their belts.
Is Katie going to fight at home in 2019?
I think they're trying to push her in the US. So, like, she'd sell at the Three Arena, but yeah. I don't know if her promoters actually see that as worthwhile. Like, there's the pay per view market. You know, like, you'd sell a lot of tickets in Ireland, but like where you make your money in boxing is pay per view. So if she got a really high profile in the US or really high profile in the UK, which she's kind of getting, then it'd mean a lot of shackles. But what could and was interesting, you know, the MMA fighter Holly Holm.
Mm. Yeah.
She, before she got into MMA, she was actually a professional boxer and a very good boxer. So if Katie somehow got matched up against her, that would be a very interesting fight. They both fight at lightweight and...
Good dollars in that.
Yeah, Holly would be a very interesting boxing match. Like, she's...
And she'd be known now from the UFC and all.
Oh, yeah. She's massive, like, Instagram following, yeah.
Class. So if Katie could unify the belts and then say... I'm after baiting everyone here. I'll go across to the UFC and bait them as well.
Well, I'd say I don't think she'd cross.
Yeah, it'd be a boxing match, but you know she'd be pulling talent from the UFC, like.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure this is what I mean. Like Holly Holm mentioned Katie Taylor in her Instagram post a couple of weeks ago, and I was like,
There you go.
Her seed is being sown there.
Step out.
Maybe so. We have a sporting dirt of the year now. Of course, Ireland's favorite Marmite man.
The man. Who bet everyone in his division and he went across the boxing looking for somebody to fight. Johnny Smacks.
Conor McGregor, of course. I suppose a bad year for Conor all in all. In April 2018, he was charged with 3 counts of assault, 1 of criminal mischief, having attacked a bus carrying his future opponent, Khabib, in New York City. He was sentenced and he made a plea bargain and was sentenced to 5 days community service. 5 days community service. Like.
Is he like out the bypass picking up rubbish?
Yeah, he's working with the tidy towns. I didn't care. But a bad year for Conor, and of course he lost then to Khabib as well. Tapped out. So
yeah,
pretty shit year for him. Where does he go from here?
Is that the only fight he had this year?
Yeah,
which is a slow year, isn't it?
Yeah, well he has his proper whiskey now, which is apparently doing well. Plenty bottles.
It is. I was talking to a few boys out in the States. They said it's very popular in the States. All the Yanks are lapping it up, not knowing that the 12 means it's from Crumlin. It's not that it's 12 years old, it's 3 years old. Yeah. I haven't tried it actually, have you?
No, I haven't tried it. I don't like Anton Brown.
I think it's licensed.
I forgot that.
Yeah, I don't drink Anton, it's Brown. Barry Jägermeister.
What about hot chocolate?
Nah, the migrants.
Okay.
Brown. Don't, can't drink whiskey, right? Oh, it's puke everywhere. Okay. Instantly.
Have you tried it, Mara?
No.
Okay,
really? But no, it's
look, Conor, if you're listening, send us in a crate there, and we'll try it live on air.
We'll hope that in 2019 he'll
Yeah, it is. His next fight will be interesting. Like there's talk of different things, like, you know, him going to a different weight division. I don't know, but like it's hard to see him or a rematch possibly against Khabib. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
That was dirt.
That was dirt.
All that fighting after the whistle was gone.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It was just,
come on, to fuck, lads.
Tarnished the whole thing.
Yeah.
But they're a different culture. They see, like, McGregor was talking shite, and McGregor and us would be like, sure, he's only having the crack, like. But they're like, from Dagestan, they were like, you can't be saying that about me ma.
Yeah.
Your father. And McGregor was like, you know, I smell a shite off your dad. And like, I thought that was funny. He said that in a press conference.
Oh, smell a shite off your dad.
Yeah, and Khabib was like, oh, I'm going to slit your throat. And I was like, come on, he's going to have to go to crack, like.
Yeah.
Another story, unfortunately. One of the big stories of the year.
Yeah.
Paddy Jackson.
Yeah, the Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding, the rape trial. After 42 days, 30 witnesses, 3 hours and 40 minutes of jury deliberation, former Irish rugby stars Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding were acquitted of all charges, having been on trial for rape and sexual assault. Sure, that was everywhere, like.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Every Tom, Dick and Harry.
There's not much too much we can say about that, because obviously they've been acquitted.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly my point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't follow the trial very closely.
No, so yeah. We're...
And I don't know that much about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go on about it.
Yeah. Like, in our, like in the Republic, they wouldn't have been named and they wouldn't have... the you know the
their identities just, wouldn't have been revealed.
Yeah, and it, like, it was very grotesque in the way that, you know, like, there was, you know, if you listen to the court reporters who went there, there was people turning up and nearly treating it like a tourist attraction.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
sickening. Like, and it's like, it's so sad that that girl was in the dock for so long, and, you know,
42 days.
Yeah, I think, do you know what, it started a really interesting conversation amongst young people in Ireland about consent.
Yeah.
And hopefully there's going to be more changes and people will be better educated about that. And it was just a very interesting thing. I was at Macklemore, of all places, Macklemore concert, and these young lads were chatting next to me, and one lad goes like, do you believe that girl? Do you believe blah, blah, blah? And the young lad turns around and goes, well, actually, I don't know enough about it to talk about it. And I just thought, fair play to you. You know, you don't know.
That's the thing. Like, we don't know. And I think it has raised the consent debate, which is no harm.
I Twitter and all was on fire about the case. Mm. And I hope all the people talking about it know a lot more about it than I do.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't go on about it because I don't know.
You're talking about hours and hours of testimony being narrowed down into 500 or 800 word articles. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was a 6-week jury trial.
Yeah.
And the jury came to the decision, and you have to respect that. And, you know,
hopefully everyone just moves on, yeah?
Yeah. You just have to hope that something like that, people, it's opened their eyes an awful lot more. And nothing, you just hope that something like this wouldn't ever happen again. But, you know.
That's a fact. As Noel Furlong would say, Johnny.
Now, something else that I hope never happens again. My dirt of the year, Brexit.
Fucking blue in the face from it.
Actually, Brexit happened. The vote was towards the end of 2016.
Mm, it was the summer of 2016, yeah.
But like, shit on your shoe, Maura. It's followed you all around the house and ruined your upstairs landing carpet. Brexit is some load of... Dark,
I'm sick of it, yeah, absolutely sick of it. Like, and we're still no further along to actually knowing what the fuck is actually going on with Brexit, is the big thing, you know. So
it looks like there's a possibility of no deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this seems like a big shock to everyone in England. And I can't help but feel you're going into a situation, if you vote yes, these are the two ways that it might turn out.
Yeah.
And they never even comprehended the no deal. That's how it looks.
Like, I don't think British people really realise that, like, if Brexit happens the way it looks like it's going to happen, your grocery bills are going to go up by 10% per week. Like, that's an awful lot for, like, the majority...
What's true from customs and excise, like?
Yeah, and, like, for the majority of people in the UK, vast amount of them earn less than... Their net incomes are, like, 30 grand or less than a year. Like, that's...
Not big money.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's going to go very wrong, and I think people are going to hate the Tories... More than they already... It's not going to be hate Thatcher. It'll be hate Theresa May, I think.
But yeah, but she does the dancing. She's not too bad, like.
We got the great meme over.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like, dancing queen. She's doing that weird thing, like. She's
okay,
like a fucking...
Can I put it around? Theresa May coming in, dancing queen. Good idea, bad idea, Maura?
I thought that Malcolm Tucker would be proud. Is Malcolm Tucker the guy from The Thick of It?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that would have been a nice little spin move, but I see what you're trying to do, and I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
I still don't like her.
I thought it was a cracking idea. It took away from the fact that, like, she's about to ruin the country, and everyone's like,
exactly,
look at her.
Exactly, that was the point of it.
Yeah, I'm sure Bertie done the same thing there with Mario and Gift Grobin and stuff. Like, everyone was like, Bertie's a great man altogether, and he was shafting us, like, so... You know what I mean? To everyone else, it looked like he was a great crack, but he's just riding us then, like. But
it doesn't matter that we're going to hell, sure. It's a bit of crack along the way.
So keep the door open for the rest of us.
Do you know that crack with the drones and the airport and all?
Yes.
Do you not get the feeling like that's all fake?
Well, apparently it's the possibility that there was never drones.
Yeah. Just distraction away from Theresa May and Brexit?
Yeah, it's possible. Like, it's absolutely...
I reckon Theresa May was out in the car park with the remote control. Do you know what I mean? If I got on the news now,
yeah,
it'll stop people talking about me.
Yeah.
Flying the old drone.
Yeah, that's quite possible. I mean, I wouldn't be a big man for conspiracy theories now. But like,
thank God.
That's very possible. Another man making the news, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
The Don.
The Donald.
He was supposed to come to Ireland.
He was.
He didn't.
He didn't.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm delighted he didn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't be dealing.
Sure, he went
the news.
He went to London and they nearly wrecked the place. They were flying up, flying like pig things with his head on it, like up over the square there in London and stuff. You just don't need him coming here, like. Bad enough, like, fucking hell without him.
Oh, we already had the fucking weather.
Yeah, we had the Pope and we had Harry and Meghan. We had enough people coming over here now during the year. He can fuck off for another while.
Well, like, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. What did he say? Yeah.
But like, you read about him and you're just like, and all the stuff involved with Russia and the fact that his own lawyer is in jail now, Michael Cohen is in jail, and you're like, how is he still president?
Oh,
like,
lads.
And you think what Bill Clinton went through for, like, you know.
Poor Bill only got a fucking hand job, huh?
Yeah. I was like, you could quite strongly argue that Donald Trump, or maybe a certain member of his political campaign, committed treason, and everybody's like, you know, I'm not, you know, doesn't matter that he says things like grabbing by the pussy or that, you know. Yeah, it's like,
we forget very easily. Trump, so thank God he didn't come in. Yeah, that's another thing.
Well, thank God we'd Miggledy,
yeah. Miggledy got in.
Yeah, Ireland's mascot. Would you ever think Ireland is like, do you know, the politicians are a shower of bastards. So if we elect a gas man of a president, kind of makes up for it all.
Forget about it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Miggledy got in, yeah. No, and Peter Casey almost brought the fucking country to its knees there. He's lucky to be alive. But
talking about travellers.
Yeah, yeah, crazy. Another crazy time.
Travelling debate came back up again?
Yep.
We're still no closer.
No. Reared his head. Don't get into it now.
I just think that, yeah, the two communities are getting further apart to Fenton.
Yeah.
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 I don't think we're getting any closer.
No.
No, I don't think there's definitely not a political will there to do anything about it. And
but if you say anything about it,
I'm
sure you're only a prick.
But you can't win.
You can't win.
You can't win either way. So.
Yeah.
It's what do they call it in America? The quiet majority.
As my granny said, if you're nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. So. Yeah.
We'll leave that aside.
Okay, we leave it there.
Another dirt, Johnny. Rent crisis.
Ah, sure, the rent crisis is spiked up. What's the average rent is like? $1,200 now or something?
Million.
And the blood of your first newborn child.
Yeah. It's crazy. You can rent a matchbox in Dublin for $2 million a year. I don't know when it's going to stop. It has people killed, you know, really. Young professionals, especially.
I was talking to a lad the other night, and he said, yeah, I'm working in software. I'm earning great money. It arrives into my account, and it's gone.
Yeah.
That's true. Your rent. Yeah. But we're here in a small town in South Tipperary.
Yes.
And lads, go on my home or daft or whatever.
You won't catch a place.
There's no house to be got in care.
Yeah.
So it's not just Dublin. You cannot. Oh, yeah. Even if you had endless budget now, you couldn't get a house in care.
Mm. Yeah.
That's crazy. But the problem is, it's such a complicated economic problem. And it's like, it's basically that the developers don't want to build houses for, say, normal working people of, like, say, like, houses can cost $200,000, because those people have to save deposit of $20,000 or $40,000, and they're currently renting, so they're probably going to have a hard time getting a mortgage. So it's actually not developers worthwhile building those type of houses. It's actually much easier for them to build the really expensive houses for the millionaires, or build student accommodation.
Yeah.
And that's,
and there's a tax break on building student accommodation as well. So
it's like, and then if you ease the mortgage rules, then the prices are going to shoot way up. So
it's fair tough though. If you have a bunch of kids, and then the eldest one is like, oh daddy, I want to go to college in Dublin. You'd say, well, you know, that's grand, so, you know, your brother has to live in the shed. We can't afford, you both can't go to college, lads. You know.
That's good, we're going to have to kill your brother.
You know, okay, you better be the smart one, because, you know, your brother is going to sleep with the pigs. So. Yeah.
All right, Johnny, another big thing that happened in Ireland.
What's that, John?
We repealed the 8th.
We did, boy. Yeah. Well, not me and you now, but.
No, we didn't. We give a hand. Nah.
Back in May, 66.4% voted in favour of repealing it.
Yeah.
39 out of the 40 constituencies in Ireland voted to repeal the 8. And the one who didn't?
Donegal.
They only said no for the crack.
Just be different.
Look, great thing.
Yeah.
In fairness, I don't know about your ethical stance, but like, the amount of Irish people going to London to get this done.
Yeah.
Whatever your thoughts about it, you can think it's right or wrong, but it's still not right. A bunch, 12 women every day going over to England. That's just,
yeah,
and, you know, like, and it was such a massive majority for something like this to be voted through. So obviously a lot of people felt that it was the right thing.
And it was never in any doubt, I'd say, was it?
Not really.
Well, no, people thought it would be a lot closer. The opinion polls had like it at passing yes by 52-53%.
Oh, just.
Yeah, so.
A change in Ireland, we said it.
Yeah.
Change in Ireland.
You know, it just shows you that, you know, I think Irish people are a lot better doing referendums than English people. Whoa! Brexit. Just saying.
You're stoking the fire, Mara. Yeah. You're stoking the fire. And another man who stoked the fire was our Taoiseach, of course, Leo Varadkar. He criticised the nurses.
Man.
He said they're going to have to work full whack at Christmas.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. And you see there in recent days, the nurses have been posting online with a hashtag digging out the Taoiseach.
Is it hashtag I'm working Leo?
Something like that.
Yeah. I think he was kind, what he was trying to make, and I'm not like defending Leo here, he's saying that like, oh, you know, like consultants shouldn't be taking 2 weeks off to go skiing or whatever, because then, you know, if consultants aren't able to see patients, that causes massive backlogs then, because you need their expertise to go, here's the drugs.
And Ireland's fucked anyway, lads, man.
Lad, he won't be welcoming Ryan's on a Wednesday night.
Right?
No, full of nurses, man.
Full of nurses, thank God. No, like, Leo's a gas man.
Yeah.
Right? Since he came in, he had the gay marriage.
Yeah.
The repeal the 8. Mm-hmm. The blasphemy.
Yeah.
And he's a great man for distraction.
Yeah.
And, like, having Twitter spats at people.
Yeah.
But, like, all the while, what's happening with our money?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think Leo, as opposed to Enda, boom boom.
Boom boom.
Boom boom. I think Leo is much more brand aware.
Yes.
He's much more aware and cautious of how he comes across.
Yeah.
And I watched a bit of, this is funny now. If you watch Leo on the news or whatever, you're going to get snippets. Mm. I watched a press conference. And not the sound bites, the actual press conference. Mm. And he's having a crack with the press. Mm. He cracks a joke, they all laugh.
Yeah.
He's depressing the palm of his hand, lads.
He's a smooth operator.
Leo's a smooth operator. But did you hear the stuff he was saying, Johnny, about like getting up early in the morning and all that? Like,
he's fucking, ah, he's...
You're a man who doesn't get up early.
Yeah, but he's appealing to Fine Gael middle class voters there, you know. So yeah.
Politics is all a big game.
Like, if they could solve the rent crisis, I'd be like, fair play to you.
Yeah, you're not doing too bad, yeah.
Yeah, but until he does that...
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Bertie ruined us, but we've decent roads. So there you go. Right, another couple of things, lads. We're just going to quickly gloss over that happened during the year. On January the 15th, we lost Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries.
Yeah, what a talent.
Yeah, unbelievable.
The tributes to her. Well, she was kind of misunderstood in life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hope wherever she's now, she's happy out.
That's it. And her music lives on anyway.
Yeah, some tunes, lad.
And of course, Limerick won this year. It had to be. And she's a Limerick woman.
And we started the podcast
in February.
February, I can't believe it.
February the 11th.
More phone in the diary.
Yeah.
Dear diary.
Today I ruined my life.
These two pricks in Tipperary. I can't believe it, lad.
February the 11th. Going strong, lad, yeah.
I suppose there must have been some sort of a gap in the market or something.
Must have been.
If people, there must be something radio isn't doing that we're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, big companies now can be afraid to stay soft because... Oh, a sponsor put out, you get sued there, or somebody complain, whereas like people complain to us and like
we just burn it
like
we just throw it into the back of the fire.
But the radio now this year, a couple of DJs, I'm not gonna name names, a couple of DJs I thought really upped their game.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of big DJs who are still doing the welcome to the show, top of the hour.
Yeah.
And here's the news and here's traffic, and it's just boring. I can't listen to that, Johnny.
Yeah,
you need to up the game, lads. You need to be fresh, keep it fresh. Of course, we moved into March then, and the nation panicked about bread, as we said, and a little in Fortune's town in Talla was destroyed by a digger. Now, they weren't looking for bread, but that was a disgrace. That was a dirt anyway, 100%. Remember they smashed up the Lidl, boy?
Huh?
You were mad for were you there, lad? It was a sale on hair straighteners. You were in there.
Volume I need, Johnny. Now straighteners.
A volumizer. In April, of course, our good buddy Davy Russell won the English Grand National on Tiger Roll.
DNR, what a man.
Yeah, an absolute hero. So congrats to Davy on that one.
What about abroad in May, Prince Harry and Yuan from Suits got married?
Meghan Markle, yeah, the royal wedding, lad. The first of two royal weddings this year.
poppycock.
It's a
the British monarchy are the English Kardashians, lad. Come on.
People just get so involved in it. Like,
people want to fuck off with themselves now.
But like, even a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to two girls like absolutely slating Meghan's dress. Oh, it's too big for her. Didn't fit her. I was just like, why do you care? I couldn't care less if she wore a bin bag.
That's true.
Probably wouldn't wear, unless she was doing the rain now or something.
Moving on to
why was that so big? Like, even now, they're still on the front page of these glossy magazines.
It's a worldwide event, I suppose.
Glossy magazines.
People care about that. Like, obviously, we don't here in Ireland.
I don't think people actually care. Do they? Are people just buying that on their lunch break now?
Look at the pictures.
Yeah.
Like a pop-up.
Oh, Meghan's fine bit of cake. I'm not taking away from the woman. Christ. She's gorgeous, like, but, like, still.
It's hardly
go on, you're mad to go on, go on.
I'm mad to say the next thing, yeah, because in June, the fourth series of Love Island began. The nation was captivated. We went to California and I spent every day on catch-up TV, catching up on my fix of Love Island. Brilliant, lads. And Danny Dyer's daughter won it. Young Danny.
My daughter of the year.
Are they still together, Danny and Jack?
They are. They're back together now. They did have a little split there, but they're back together. All's good in the camp. I was just chatting to Danny last night. He said, fuck off, you fucking mag.
What are they doing with themselves?
What? They're making a lot of money.
How?
Sure, I don't know. How? Same as us.
What? They've got a tour and a podcast.
No. They're think they have their own TV show coming out next year.
Because I think it's a funny one. If you do a show like that, and you come out,
yeah, like she's doing a bit of presenting as well.
Yeah. Or you could have quite a short lifespan because you can't go back to stacking shelves. Yeah.
Well, Dermot O'Leary won Big Brother and he's not going too bad. Davina McCall won Big Brother.
I'm saying if you're not one of the ones that skyrockets.
Yeah. Oh, you're fucked then, yeah.
Rylan or someone like that. Like. Must be fair weird.
Dr. Alex is back working in the emergency.
The NHS,
room.
Yeah.
Yeah, the NHS, so. He's quite happy to do that.
I hope he finds love.
Yeah, there you go, man. July in Russia, France beat Croatia to win their second ever World Cup.
Yeah.
No opinion on that, Johnny?
Sure. If Ireland weren't in it, lad, I only have a passing interest.
You only want the old plastic hammers and the ole oles.
Yeah? If Ireland weren't in it, lad, no.
No interest?
Not no interest, like, you know what I mean? I was hoping Croatia had beat the French, right, like, but...
Yeah, in fairness.
Not particularly. I don't have any great affiliation to Croatia, like...
In September, Ireland's first Krispy Kreme store opened in Blanchestown and people lost their fucking mind for donuts.
Have you ever tried this?
No.
Maura?
I tried it and they're disgusting.
This podcast won't be sponsored by Krispy Kreme in the new year anyway.
Well, Krispy Kreme, we haven't tried them, so if you want to send us in some. Yeah, they'd be ruining the post, lad.
Yeah, they would. They'd be stink by the time they get you.
How long to them?
There was queues all around the place and residents were going mental. And that took us into October where Garda whistleblower Sergeant Morris McCabe. So Morris McCabe was acquitted basically in October. The report by Mr. Justice Peter Charlton concluded that Sergeant McCabe is a genuine person who at all times had the interests of the people of Ireland upmost in his mind. And of course, a documentary aired on RT about it. Very good.
Yeah. It's nice to see Morris McCabe absolutely... been cleared of everything and people being in no doubt as to what had gone on and what he went through as well. I hope this Christmas was just lovely for him and I hope for everyone in his family connected with him. So
he got a bad doing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
We wanted to give special mention, more especially, to the men of Mullinocta. They're over here part of the world, aren't they?
In Longford, we distance away from me, but not too far.
Yeah. Mullinocta, incredible.
Yeah.
Small club, East Longford, won the Leinster senior football title.
Mm-hmm. Bet Kilmacud Crokes, who were an absolute powerhouse then as well.
Yeah, there's about 7.5 million people living in Kilmacud. And in Mullinocta, they don't even have a shop, but they have two pubs.
One of which is closed,
but they still have two pubs. The post office is gone. They say they have a population of 440 people. Lad, that's insane. Raise money, like,
yeah,
county draw.
Christ.
Yeah, I called round to the eight houses. It's a family orientated club, they say, with six sets of brothers on the team. Isn't that unreal?
That's some going.
Mm-hmm. The local school has 40 pupils. They can't even field an underage team, like.
Yeah, that's crazy. 40 pupils. Like.
They must be joined underage, are they, for like under 12 and that?
Yeah, a neighbouring club. They work their way up underage. Yeah,
and it's
I wonder, are they the first team to win a Leinster senior title whose underage setup is amalgamated?
Maybe. It's the first time any Longford team has won a Leinster final, anyway.
Yeah.
They have no sponsors on their jersey.
No.
So there's probably nobody in the parish to sponsor.
They just have St. Columbus written across it. So. Yeah.
That's gas.
Yeah. I know. Well, like, there'd be a hell of a sponsorship opportunity now. So they're playing in February. They're playing Dr. Crokes from Kerry. Yeah. So,
well, it says their GA club has 150 members, whereas Kilmacud Crokes has how many, Johnny?
4,800. That's outrageous.
That's like twice the population of our town.
Yeah. That is mad. That's absolutely crackers. So lads, that's basically everything that's happened in 2018. We hope you enjoyed this special. What would you say is if you were to pick a film of the year?
Go on, for me?
Yeah.
Star is Born.
Yeah, I agree. I was time between A Star is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ah, A Star is Born.
I went with A Star is Born, yeah.
Maura?
I'd have to agree, yeah. I was listening to the soundtrack actually on the way down here and it's like, yeah, so good tunes.
Top 10 grossing movies of the year.
Go on.
From 10, the Fantastic Beasts movie. Whatever the
fucking show, what's that?
Oh, that's the Harry Potter spin-off.
And Ant-Man.
Oh, Lord.
Ant-Man 2. Bohemian Rhapsody. Deadpool 2. Mission Impossible, whatever sort of a brand they had. Venom, The Incredibles 2, Jurassic Park. In second place was Black Panther. And the top grossing movie worldwide.
A Star is Born.
Avengers Infinity War. Star is Born was a slow burner, lad.
Jesus, yeah. That's shocking.
But see, those Marvel movies do massive in like India and China and that, so, you know.
Can I say what I thought was the worst movie of the year? Black Panther.
I wouldn't even watch it.
I haven't seen it. So.
Make believe, dirt lad.
Yeah, I watched it on the plane going to America. And I wouldn't be massive into the Marvel thing. I've seen the odd one, whatever. But I'm telling you now, that they were like all class, you know, a black superhero and it's set in Africa and all that. Doesn't hide the fact that it's a terrible movie. Okay. The script was written on the back of a box of fags. It's absolutely useless. It had that Kendrick Lamar song in it, which is pretty good, like. What you going to do to me? You can't do nothing new to me. Other than that, the fucking awful film. No?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
I can't comment.
Music, Johnny. A few quick ones for you here. Five biggest selling songs worldwide.
Fucking Post Malone has to be in there, lad.
Number five, Johnny. Your favourite song of the year, I would think. This Is Me.
Oh, yeah. The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
Is The Greatest Showman... Like, was that out in 2018?
It was the run up to Christmas.
Yes. Fair enough.
Because it didn't go to number one in 2018.
Okay, but it was still
rolled on. And These Days, Rudimental, Jesslyn McLemore.
Jesus.
Oh, that was number one for 9 weeks in the UK.
Wow. Yeah, I suppose so.
Shotgun.
Oh yeah.
George Ezra. Prick.
Come on, George.
He's probably sound like he just. Anyway, One Kiss, Calvin Harris and Dua Lipa. And then the top selling song, God's Plan.
Drake.
Yeah. The Yanks love Drake.
I thought Post Malone, lad. Rockstar now would have been in there or something.
Oh, that could be the previous year as well, actually.
Possibly so.
But for me, honourable mention, lad. Freaky Friday.
Oh, yeah. Chris Brown.
What a tune.
Little Dicky, boy. Yeah. Good tune, boy. On my Spotify most played, that was the third song on my most played on Spotify. And in second place was...
Surely Craig David, no?
No. Number one was Craig David and Bastille. I know you. Raxu was second with Freak Me. Yeah, on my so that was my Spotify top three there. Outrageous.
For me, the big winners this year, Post Malone, lad.
Yeah, Post Malone, lad.
Killing I swear it. If I opened my sock drawer, he'd be in it. The man was everywhere.
Yeah.
And I still can't understand a word he says. I kind of like the sound of it. I put it on, like.
Yeah.
Do like Post Malone. Also, a big winner from Ireland this year, Academic.
Yeah, Academic took over the world. Every radio station in Ireland anytime I turn it on, and the boys are absolutely killing it.
We went to see him in Dolan at the start of the year, and it wasn't even full. And now,
yeah, but that was with the.
It was the radio thing.
Yeah.
Then during the Ivy Gardens, you went.
Yeah, I went to the Ivy Gardens. Yeah.
Two nights at Vicar Street,
and then they also supported the Rolling Stones in Croke Park.
Amazing.
So what a year for the lads! I know that they listen to podcasts. So sound out, boys. Fair play to you.
Another winner of the year for me, Amazon. Bad year for the jungle, good year for the company. Amazon, right? The lad who is the boss in Amazon, Jeff Bezos.
Bezos.
His net worth, Maura?
Oh, bajillions, I'd say.
$150 billion he's worth. He's now richer than Bill Gates.
He gets some chicken rolls out of that, lad.
He's richer than Bill Gates, lad. That's dream stuff. Also, I thought it was possibly a good year, not a brilliant year, but a decent year for the whole mental health argument. I think we're inching forward in terms of a lot more people having a lot more discussions.
Yeah. They've opened it up a bit, yeah.
They've opened it up a bit. Another, something else that made a big comeback this year, drugs.
Drugs is back, yeah. Yeah,
great year for the drug dealers. Bad year for everyone else's health.
Yeah.
Also, a good year. I would argue a good year for Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Right? He was fined $20 million by the SEC because he was like smoking weed on YouTube and all his tweets. Right? People are like, oh my God, Elon Musk is wrote off. This year, he made a profit himself, $2.8 billion.
He's not going too bad, so.
He's not going too bad, yeah. In fairness to the man. And the big loser for me, Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm. Yeah, Facebook's dying.
Facebook's fuck, man.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg's wealth went down this year by $18 billion.
Wow.
Now, he still have about 50. He's all right.
Yeah, he's not going too bad, like.
We're not going to have a whip around for Zuckerberg. But Facebook's in trouble, lad.
Yeah, it's dying off, really.
They say the under 20s are just not bothering with Facebook.
Yeah.
What are we going?
My sister isn't on Facebook, not around, like.
She'd be on Instagram, Snapchat.
Yeah.
Well, luckily for Facebook, they bought Instagram for $1 billion.
So they're not going too bad. So
they're not going too bad. They don't mind really going. They still have you. Any dirt this year? My dirt of the year. ISIS.
Bad men.
We're still acting the bollocks up in the Middle East.
Bad men, lad.
Fucking things up for everyone.
Yeah. My dirt of the year is being a club player.
It's tough going now.
Absolutely horrendous being a club player at the moment. Just the fixtures, the way the fixtures are and stuff like that. And particularly here in Tip anyway, like we don't play any games during the summer and stuff. And it's a load of shite. So if anyone's looking for two lads going to J1. Nah, yeah. Being a club player is tough. So yeah, definitely that's my dirt of the year.
I have a part two of my dirt. I'll take you up on your point with that, Johnny. Parky Queeve.
Go on.
As you said it, Mark, they're now gone $25 million over budget. And the GA are going to have to step in. Croke Park are going to have to step in and they're giving them $20 million. That's money they should be spent.
On development, yeah.
On development.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, they don't need it. Like.
Yeah.
When are Cork going to have 40,000 people at a game?
Yeah, and like, it doesn't even have Hawkeye. So like...
Yeah, it's not even really... Yeah.
It's...
Throwing good money after bad, Maureen.
Yeah.
Well, it's in a bad spot, lad.
Yeah, the parking. If you can't park, you can't get to the place. Can't get in, can't get out.
Can't get up, can't get down. If they'd put Parky Queeve, say, on North Cork City, on the motorway or something.
Oh, ideal. Dream job.
And then put a lot of apartments down where Parky Queeve is.
Would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
On that note, lad, have you had an Elster you want to get off
the chest? There's nobody in charge of Parky Queeve. The guy are like, jeez, lads, where'd all the money go on? Cork are like, yeah, I don't know. Nobody's coming out from Cork. If they were a company, there'd be someone fired.
Oh, God, yeah.
In a spot of water. We just want to say a special thank you to everyone, lads, who's downloaded this podcast over the last...
Since February 11th.
Since February 11th, yeah. So we have it there. Some crack. It's been an emotional... It's been an emotional rollercoaster, lads. Thanks very much. And thanks to everyone who came out to see us and all our live shows and our live podcasts in the Sugar Club, the whole lot. We'll be back in 2019, bigger, bolder, and badder than ever.
Life-changing year for two Johnnies, lads.
Life-changing year for us, yeah. Fucking hell.
Definitely not going back to the butcher counter now, lads.
No, thank God. I can officially confirm that. Yeah, I can relax a bit now.
Deny the rumours. Yeah. What a weird year.
A strange year, yeah. Fucking crazy.
Life
changing, yeah. As you said, like, we recorded this podcast all over the place and in California. Yeah. You know, three weeks in California together as well. So yeah, it's crazy.
We didn't kill each other
and we're still going strong heading into 2019. Big surprises coming from the Two Johnnies podcast in 2019.
Yeah,
things are about to be changed, motherfuckers.
Yeah, y'all better get ready. Yeah. Yeah, not next week now, but like,
yeah, not next week. Not next week, we're still getting over Christmas, but a couple of weeks after that, big changes. So massive thanks, lads, to everybody. Tour tickets are still on sale.
Jesus, yeah, if we don't mention the tour, we'll be shot.
Yeah, so the tour tickets are still on sale for Two Johnnies, twojohnnies.ie. You'll get them all there. Some of them are actually already sold out.
Honestly, I think there's about 20 left for Killarney.
Yeah.
And Clonmel.
Yeah.
Here. I think there's about 40 left for Clonmel. And on Stephen's Day alone, I must have met 100 people who said to me, Jason, let's get tickets to your show on Clonmel.
Yeah.
And two words, Johnny.
Spilt Milk.
Spilt Milk.
So yeah, Newbridge is sold out, and or sorry, Naas is sold out, and Kilkenny is sold out.
Do you know? I think Kilkenny only sold out despite us now.
Yeah, they're just going to go and throw tomatoes at us.
No, I reckon we'll go into the theatre in Kilkenny and it'll just be 300 empty seats.
Brian Cody bought them all.
Cody will be in the second row and he'll be like, "It's my town." We'll come out and he'll just start a slow clap.
Lads, thanks everyone who downloaded it. Hope you have a great new year. We'll be back next week with our normal podcast, same time, same channel. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
Have a very, very happy New Year's. Good luck.
Lovely.
Break out the
It's the Two Johnny's Podcast. The Two Johnny's Podcast.
Two Johnny's recording a podcast.